Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I have read a lot of books in the last 22 years of walking with Jesus Christ. I've interviewed a lot of people in the last 10 years of doing radio. I do not think, I don't even have to think about it. I know for a fact that I have never interviewed anybody with a criminal record and a criminal past that was as nasty, as dark, as depraved as my guest past is today. The Ultimate Pardon is the name of the book. Bill Coram is the author. But what God did in Bill's life and the turnaround that has that he has accomplished since those dark days that Bill was just running down every wrong road you could imagine. It's just another miraculous story of God's grace and his pursuit of us despite the darkness of our sins. And so we're excited to be talking to Bill Coram today. We're live from the Christian Library International annual event. I get to be the MC. I have done that. I think this is my fifth year in a row. Christian Library International sends Christian resources, books, Bibles, CDs, courses into last time I checked, it was over 1,500 prisons nationwide, plus individual Bible studies that they do with inmates. They see people come to Christ all the time. They're discipling through these letters and these Bible studies that go back and forth between inmates and the volunteers that Christian Library International has around the country. CLI.world is their website. Just an incredible ministry. And Bill's going to be sharing his story tonight as the keynote speaker. Bill Coram, welcome to Call to Action.
Thank you, Steve. It's really awesome to be here. I'm excited to be down here with you guys.
Now, that's a pretty, it's probably pretty awesome to be anywhere at this point in your life after the life that you've led and what God has done in your life. So let's dive back. Let's get in the Wayback Machine. Because, I mean, all the way back to your childhood. I mean, it was difficult and dark, and you were in all kinds of trouble, weren't you?
Well, I was at about 8 years old. I started stealing and doing things that I knew were wrong, but then there came a time when I didn't really feel they were wrong, and I did them. Just, you know, things that normal people wouldn't even be doing.
Yeah.
And so.
And what was home-like life for you?
Home life was really, you know, unbelievably, when people read my book, I had good parents. I mean, I really did have good parents. I just had this rebellious streak in me that wanted to just do everything wrong no matter what. And it got worse. When I was a teenager, I had a real good friend, and he drank a fifth of whiskey on a bet. They bet him he couldn't drink it in 30 minutes, and he drank it in 5 minutes, a whole fifth of whiskey. And he was just a teenager. He was 16 years old, was going to be 17 on the next day, actually. It was on the eve of his 17th birthday. And he was my very best friend, and when that happened, everything in my life changed. I got mad at God. I got mad at everybody. Anybody that tried to tell me anything.
Did he survive the night?
No, he died.
He died.
He died, yes.
And so you were mad at God, but your parents were loving people.
Yes.
Were they Christians?
They were Christians.
But they, you know, and this is something that's important, just a little aside, because great Christian parents can love their children well, and their children can still make horrible decisions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so the teen years for you, and as I read through the book, The Ultimate Pardon, which you can, I've got links up on Facebook, and you can just Google it, The Ultimate Pardon. Bill Coram is his name, C-O-R-U-M. He's sharing today at Christian Library International. You know, it's one of those books, Bill, and it's fast-paced, it's short chapters, pretty provocative chapter titles. And as I was reading through each chapter, I'm like, this can't possibly get worse. It can't possibly get crazier. But that was the arc of your life. It was every day. It was seeming to get worse, and the crime was getting worse, and the seriousness of your choices was getting worse. It was wild. It was hard to imagine that that's actually what happened.
I remember telling my wife 20 years ago, because I didn't ever really want to write a book, but I said, if I ever write a book, it'll have to be in volumes because there's so much to tell.
Yeah.
And then we will definitely have to call it a fiction book because nobody will believe it. And I had really no intentions of ever writing a book. And God made me write that book 4 years ago. And I tried to stop two or three times during the writing of it because it was so painful for me.
Yeah.
Very painful. And my wife is a writer, and it takes her 3 years sometimes to write a book. And I wrote that book in 6 weeks. And wow. When I got done, she said, "You cannot be done. There's no way you can write a book in 6 weeks."
Yeah.
But literally 6 weeks from start to finish. Now, there was some time in editing and getting all the production for the cover
sure.
and laying the book out and all that. But the literal writing of the book from the day I started to the day I finished was 6 weeks. And I didn't tell it all. I remember calling an old Italian friend of mine. I said, "Can I use your name in the book?" And he said, "Bill, I don't know." And I said, "Tony, it's been 30 years. And he said, "Doesn't the Bible say something about a fool tells all?" And I said, "I'm not telling all.
Yeah.
I'm only telling part of it. I'm not going to tell anything that can get me in front of a grand jury."
Yeah, because, it was petty crime and kind of adolescence just kind of some of the stuff you would expect kids to do in their teen years and kind of the bad kids. But it got way worse. You progressed into some pretty serious crime and crime families and on a level that most of us, that's why in reading the book, it seemed like it was a culmination of a bunch of different people's backgrounds. It couldn't possibly be one person, but in your case, obviously it was.
Sometimes I tell my story and I say I was involved in everything from international gun smuggling. Because we were selling guns from Kansas City. We were moving them to South America. And you read that in the book.
Yeah.
So everything from international gun smuggling to petty crime and everything in between. Pornography, prostitution, drugs, you name it. We were involved in it. And, you know, when I got out of prison as a young man, I had two goals. One, never go back to prison. And two, never get caught. And I went for almost two decades committing crimes every single day or breaking the law every single day in some way or another. And I didn't get caught. And then.
How long were you in when you served
I got
time?
In a train wreck.
Literally.
I got in a train wreck and I was getting ready to go back forever.
Yeah.
And I really didn't serve. I had a 6-year federal sentence. And that's when I went to prison back then, the federal system has changed now, and now you do 85%. But when I went to prison, you could get out in 1/3 of your sentence.
Yeah. We're talking to Bill Coram. The name of the book is The Ultimate Pardon, an incredibly difficult past, almost seemingly unredeemable, but nobody's too far gone for the Lord. You're going to hear about that when we come back. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you live today from the Christian Library International Annual Banquet that I've had the pleasure of being the MC. This will be, I think, the fifth year in the row Christian Library International does an amazing work in the prison system. And every year they have just fabulous testimonials of people that God has brought through the prison system and redeemed. And then it's just doing incredible things with their lives. CLI.world is the website, CLI.world. This year, no exception. Bill Coram, The Ultimate Pardon is the name of the book, and Bill is sharing his story tonight. He's with us today on Call to Action Radio. And Bill, we were talking earlier, to read through your book, and I'm about 75% through it and just got on the other side of your salvation. To read through your book, the life of crime that you led and the roads that you went down and the decisions that you made and the things that you did, I thought, surely this can't be the story of one man. It sounds like it's just a culmination of a bunch of different nasty criminals. But sure enough, this was the life that you led. And you mentioned before we hit the commercial break, Bill, that this book was very difficult for you to write. Why was it difficult?
Well, I have four children. I have a son who is an attorney that's never lost a trial in 23 years.
Wow.
I have a son that's an oncologist that graduated number one in college, number one in med school, and number one in cancer research. I have a daughter who's an RN, and now she's a paralegal. I have another daughter who has a master's degree in Christian counseling. So I have four wonderful children, and I did not want to expose and tell the story. I didn't want to throw dirt on my kids. I didn't, and I didn't really want my kids to know there was a time in my life I didn't, although they knew I didn't care about them because my kids used to come over to see me and say, "Where's Dad?" And my wife would say, "I haven't seen your dad in weeks. I don't know where your dad is." Because I would kiss my wife goodbye and say, "I'll see you tonight." And I wouldn't come home for weeks, sometimes a month at a time.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't want to hurt my kids. That's why I didn't want to write the book.
Exactly,
but this,
right.
I think this book's actually brought us closer together, actually.
Amen. Well, yeah. Well, the thing about it, and it's difficult. I know it's difficult for you to share from your past because it is, quite frankly, really, really dark, much darker than most people are used to. And we don't want to glorify our sin. We don't want to park there for long. But I think it always is important for us to see just how far the gap is between the lost and the found, between darkness and light, and how far and how much junk God will go through and that he can forgive. And so people that are listening to us today and people that will hear the podcast later and maybe watch the Facebook Live later, sitting there going, well, surely God can't forgive me. I've done so many things wrong. I've done this. I've done that. Listen, Bill, I can tell you right now, I have not met another person in 51 years of life that's done the things that you've done, yet you're sitting here as in love with Jesus Christ today as you were 30 years ago.
Yes.
And God can save anybody from anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so what? And so back in those days, like you were telling me off on the break, that it was dark enough for you at one point that, well, tell me the clown story and then the church stained glass window story, because this will show people just how much of an enemy of God and of the church you had chosen to become, and really for no good reason. But tell me what was going on then, and then I want to make sure we get to your conversion as soon as we can.
Well, I was leading a double life. I was married to a woman for 10 years, and we went to church, but I was doing burglaries. I was stealing. I was very addicted to pornography. I'd been addicted to pornography since I was 8 years old. And when I got married to her, it never changed, and it just got deeper and darker. There was a time I spent $100 a day in adult bookstores.
And was she clueless?
Clueless.
Clueless, totally.
Yes.
Because you were that good.
And I was so deceptive. I would go out, tell her I was going to go do a little side job. I was a plumber. And I would say, Steve Noble wants me to put a bathroom in his basement, and so I won't be coming home from work. I'll be going over there and working. And I would go to a friend of mine's apartment, change my clothes, go out, party, be with women. And then I'd go back and get my work clothes back on. And on the way home, I would stop and rub my hands on the tires and rub dirt all over my face and and walk in at 11, 12 o'clock. And she'd think, man, he's been working hard.
Yeah.
And I did that for 10 years.
Man.
And there was times I had three girlfriends while I was married to her. And I was really... My addiction at that time was pornography and prostitution.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So difficult, so terrible, really. I mean, so tell us real quick about the clown thing and about stained glass windows.
Okay, during the time we were going to church and I was leading this double life, I was the church clown, and I drove the Sunday school bus. And on weekends, we would go out and campaign in neighborhoods trying to get kids to come to church, and I learned how to tie animal balloons, and I'd dress up like a clown, and all the kids loved me. Parents would invite me in their house, and I would tie animal balloons and case their house while I was there and go back and burglarize their house later.
Man.
Never got caught in all those years. And then after I was completely, would never enter the door of a church, didn't want anything to do with God at all, I was just driving along one day. I was by myself. And I stopped on a Sunday night. There was a church service going on. The church was fairly close to the road. And I pulled over, got a big rock, and threw it through their stained glass window right while they were having service and got in my car and drove off. And I was a cocaine dealer. I was making money.
Yeah.
I had lots of...
Why stop? Why bother?
Just evil.
Yeah.
Just evil. Just driven by evil.
Were there some things that happened through all those years, Bill, where every once in a while... You might have a God encounter where something happened. You're like, I wonder why I'm still alive. Anything like that?
You know, I never wanted to give God credit, Steve. I've been in over 25 car wrecks and motorcycle wrecks. And eight specific times in my life I should have died. I've had two heart attacks from doing cocaine. And like one time I had a serious wreck and flipped a van six times end over end. And then rolled it down a hill several times on its side. And I took my 75-year-old mother to see that truck. Every piece of metal was twisted and bent. There was not a piece of glass in it. And I took my mom to see it. And she said, Bill, don't you see God has his hand on you? And I said, Mom, God had nothing to do with that. I'm a good driver. That's how warped my mind was. That I think because I'm flipping end over end. I think I'm in control.
Yeah, you're in control. We're talking to Bill Corum. The Ultimate Pardon is the name of the book. He's the keynote speaker tonight at the Christian Library International Annual Banquet here in Raleigh, North Carolina, which is an incredible ministry to the prisons. They send Christian books and Bibles and resources into about 1,500 prisons nationwide. It's really just remarkable what God has done through CLI and all the prisoners that they reach, not just with those resources, but with the gospel of Jesus Christ and with Bible studies that volunteers do the Bible studies via, you know, the written word, and they send the Bible studies, and the inmate will do the study and send it back, and then the volunteer will correspond with them. Just an amazing ministry. You can find out more about CLI by going to their website, cli.world, and Bill is the, like I said, the keynote speaker tonight. And so Bill, when did things start to change? When did you start to kind of encounter the living God?
Steve, there was three things I wanted in life by this time, and it was money, power, and influence. And I had enough money that I rode in limousines. I stayed in $500 night hotels. I bought $20,000 worth of cocaine for a one-night party. So I had money. I had enough power to make a phone call and have somebody killed, so I had power. And when I was arrested the last time, September 5th, 1982, I was out of jail in less than 12 hours on a weekend. That doesn't happen. And it wasn't a traffic ticket. I put 100 stitches in the back of a guy's head with a baseball bat. And so usually when you get arrested on a weekend, you have to wait till Monday morning for the judge to arraign you. I made a phone call back to the city councilman that we were selling cocaine to and said, you know who to call. And that city councilman called the judge that we were selling cocaine to. When you're selling cocaine to a judge, he doesn't want you in jail.
He doesn't want you in jail. We're talking to Bill Corum. We're going to hear how Jesus got into his life.
All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close. Closer to the prize at the end of the rope.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you live today from the location for the annual banquet for Christian Library International. CLI.world is the website. Just an amazing ministry. I've known these guys for years now and have been blessed to be able to emcee their annual event for the last, this will be year number five, I think. And Christian Library International gathers books and Bibles and Christian resources, sends them into over 1,500 prisons nationwide, makes that available, putting the gospel and God's truth into the prison system. And then one of the most wonderful things about CLI is they also do men's Bible studies. So they have these stamps in back of all these books. So they use tons of volunteers around the country. And they put a stamp in the back of the book. And then if you want to find out about a Bible study, then these inmates get engaged in a Bible study. They mail in the Bible study. They do the Bible study. They send it back. And then there's volunteers with CLI that will then interact with the inmates in an appropriate fashion, obviously, and walk through it and disciple them. And they've had so many people come to Christ through the ministry and being discipled, and then many of them come out and get into ministry themselves. Many of them have been a part of CLI events in the past. And in another story that God has woven together, The Ultimate Pardon is the name of the book, with Mr. Bill Corum, who's here with me today, in a criminal past that sounds like it's a culmination, like you had to get a bunch of different criminals together, get all their stories, and ram it into one book, except in this case, it was one guy, and that guy being Bill Corum. And it's great to have you here today. So nice to meet you. And thanks for traveling all the way to Raleigh to be able to share your story, not only on the air, but tonight here at CLI.
Well, thanks, Steve. And I was on the ground. We drove.
Oh, you drove all the way from Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
That's a hike.
It was. Well, we've been on a trip here for the last few days going to prisons and churches and different places.
Awesome.
And we'll drive about 2,500 miles on this trip.
Wow, awesome. So what year was it when God started to insert himself more obviously into Bill Corum's life?
Well, with all the money and the power and the influence I had, I was getting ready to go to prison for life. And April 15th, 1983, I said, if there's a God and you can change Bill Corum, I'll live my life for you. Mm. And that was the beginning of the changes that are still going on today. I'm not perfect. You can interview my wife. But it began the changes that I've been going through for the last 34 years. But I can tell you this, Steve. I said those words not knowing that that was scriptural. That it was scriptural. Because the Bible says in Romans, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's right.
So when I said, God, if you're real and you can change me, I'll live for you, that was really scriptural. And so I say, people ask me, did it work? Well, I can tell you this. I was doing $500 worth of cocaine every day, and some days my partner and I freebase a whole ounce, $2,000. I was drinking two quarts of whiskey a day. Now, people say you couldn't possibly drink two quarts of whiskey a day, and I say, you've never done cocaine, have you?
Yeah, there you go.
I was smoking three packs of non-filtered Camels a day. I would have took a birth control pill if I thought I could get high on it.
Jeez.
Everything there was to do, I did. I've done every kind of drug. So I've not done an illegal drug since 1983. Yeah, it worked. I've not smoked a cigarette since 1983. I've not had a drop of alcohol since 1983. And one of the biggest ones, Steve, I've not kissed another woman since
Amen.
1983. Because I used to kiss her goodbye and say, I'll see you tonight, and cheat on her every day for weeks at a time.
Man.
And God's put us back together. And she took the higher road of forgiveness. And today we speak in prisons, churches, schools, and we talk about that God is a God of forgiveness and a God of restoration.
Amen.
He'll restore any marriage. He'll restore broken lives.
So what were some of the first pieces of fruit that began to come off of that tree once you made that decision to give God control of your life?
Well, I was involved in the underworld. The last 8 years that I was out there breaking the law, I got involved in the Kansas City underworld. And one of the first things that happened when I became a Christian was I got a phone call, because I completely divorced myself from everything. And I got a phone call, and when I said hello, all I heard was, you can't walk out on us.
Wow.
And I went to sleep, and I had a dream, and in the dream, I saw a barrel of a gun and the fire coming out of the gun, and I saw the pain on my wife's face, and I saw her fall to the floor dead. And I woke up in fear, knowing that they were going to kill my wife. And I wasn't reading the Bible yet. This was, you know, I got April 15th, and now I didn't really start reading the Bible, really reading the Bible, till July 5th, when a guy gave me my first Bible. But I picked up my wife's Bible, and I opened it up, and the only words I could see after having this dream of seeing a barrel of a gun and fire coming out of the gun, the only words I could see on the page said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Amen.
And I just had this peace settle over me. And I turned a few pages and it said, if 10,000 surround you, you will not be afraid. And then I really had a peace and I fell back asleep and I slept peaceful. Mm. And when I woke up, I realized that Bible was true. And I began to read. And one of the first things I read was, be doers of the word, not hearers only.
Yeah.
If any man is a hearer, not a doer, he deceives himself. And see, all my life, Steve, for 40 years, I tried to deceive other people.
Yeah.
I'd cheat on my wife, but I didn't want my wife cheating on me. Why not? Because I didn't want to be deceived.
Of course.
I would lie to somebody, but I didn't want anybody to lie to me, because I didn't want to be deceived. Because no one wants to be deceived. We'll deceive others, but we don't want to be deceived. And the Bible says if you don't do what it says, you're the one that's going to get deceived.
That's right. And so were you able to then come out of that world kind of without any strings attached? They didn't come after you. It just kind of got left in the past. Did God just kind of separate it as far as the east is from the west?
You know, I tried to sell my house because I wanted to run, because I was afraid.
Yeah.
And I put a for sale sign in my yard, and for 3 years I couldn't sell my house. And it was kind of like, now I look back and I realize that God was making me face my fears. And I have no doubt, people have asked me, you know, well, what happened? Did they do this? I have no doubt that they may have tried to kill me, but I think there were angels around
me.
Yeah,
amen. That's right.
I just believe that. One of my friends, Joe Donato, he wrote a book called Tell It to the Mafia. He was one of the leaders of the L.A. Mafia, and after he became a Christian, he literally had some of the underworld characters buying him suits to go speak in churches. And I could tell you other stories of guys that, you know, were targeted, and they couldn't kill them.
Yeah.
So I don't know if somebody tried to kill me or not, but if God knows.
That was God's deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, he took care of it.
Oh, he obviously did.
So what do you do now? Because now you don't have an income.
Well, I mean, I worked for years. The first 8 years I was a Christian, I begged God to let me go into full-time ministry. I wanted to preach. I wanted to share his love, because the Bible says when you're working, do your work as unto the Lord. So when I was working on construction jobs and guys would want to talk, I'd say, I can't talk. I got to work. I'll talk to you after work, but I can't talk right now. Well, I'm having trouble with my marriage. I said, I know, but I'm not supposed. And I wanted so bad to be in full-time ministry. And God kept taking me to one verse, and I grew to hate that verse. And it's Isaiah 66. It says, the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. what can you do to, what can you build to impress me? Can you build a radio program, big radio show? Can you do a big TV show? Can you do a big international prison ministry, an international book ministry?
Yeah.
What can you do? What can you build to impress me? Because I put my feet up on the earth.
That's right.
And so what I, the reason I hated that verse, Steve, is because I realized that I could, what he goes on to say is, there's only one man that I'll be impressed with. The man that has a humble heart and who trembles at my word.
That's right. Yep.
And I realized that I could have a humble heart and tremble at his word just as easy being a construction worker as I could being a preacher.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're talking to Bill Corum. The name of the book is The Ultimate Pardon. I've got links up on Facebook, and you can just Google it and find it for yourself, The Ultimate Pardon. It's one of those books that as you read it, you go through each page, I'm thinking, this can't possibly be the story of one person and the life of crime. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this Bill is definitely his backstory. The hardest criminal story I've ever been around, the hardest criminal background I've ever had a chance to interview. But that just shows the contrast between the darkness of the world and the brightness of the gospel and what God was able to do in this man's life. And he's speaking tonight and sharing his story here at the Christian Library International Annual Banquet. So that's why I'm here. I get to MC that event by God's grace for the fifth year in a row. So we're looking forward to that to tonight. And so as God began to, he's providing for you, you're out of your life of crime. And then what about kind of coming full circle with all these people, not the least of which was your wife, in terms of this life of deception that you had led? I mean, how did you handle all these relationships of people that were still in your life, and including your wife? Because all of a sudden there's a new Bill Corum, but they didn't really know all that much about the old Bill Corum.
Well, nobody knew I became a Christian in 83. I didn't write the book until 2013. So from 83 to 13, 30 years.
Long time.
Nobody knew. And that's part of why I didn't want to write it. I mean, besides not wanting to hurt my kids, I didn't really want people to know that I'd lived that kind of a life.
Sure.
It was shame.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it was actually a freeing thing for me to write it. It was scary. But it's been, you know, for me to be able to finally let people know. Because I believe this, Steve. If you got sin in your life, you got something in your life that only you and the devil know about.
Yep.
And the devil's telling you you're going to take it to your grave.
Yep, that's right. That's right. We're talking to Bill Corum. When we come back, what all has God been doing since he saved him from this life of crime, the ministry he has today? What is he saying to people when he's in the prisons? How do you minister to people in the prisons? And especially if you think that you're too far gone, that you're unlovable, that what you've done, God could never forgive you for, Bill's got a message for you. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Today talking to Bill Corum. He's the author of The Ultimate Pardon, and he's the keynote speaker tonight at the Christian Library International, their annual banquet here in Raleigh, North Carolina. You can just Google The Ultimate Pardon by Bill Corum, C-O-R-U-M is how you spell his last name. I've got links up on Facebook page today. And then tonight, CLI, which is just an incredible organization, incredible ministry that's sending Bibles and Christian resources as well as individual Bible studies into the prisons all over the country, and seeing all kinds of prisoners come to faith in Christ and then being built up in Christ as they disciple them through this one-on-one Bible study that they do via a mail correspondence. It's just an incredible ministry. And if you want to learn more about that and be a part of it, CLI World, CLI.world is their website, CLI.world for Christian Library International. Today talking to Bill Corum. And so you get saved, was it 82 or 83?
83.
And then all of a sudden God is protecting you. You have no idea if anybody actually tried to take your life. You had all kinds of relationships with nasty organized crime from the years before that. But then as God started to release you into ministry, how did he then begin to use your story to reach other people?
Well, I mean, I was for years just going to prisons and sharing my story. And then when I wrote the book and we began to put books in prisons, 55,000 of those books are in the prisons now.
Wow.
And chaplains actually call me and say, hey, if you're coming through our town, I'd love to have you stop and speak in the prison. And so I get to do that a lot. But mainly, you know, I love to share my story. So wherever I go, I try to, if it's a grocery store or wherever I'm at, I try and get an opportunity to share how God changed me.
And what are you finding in the prisons, just in terms of Do you speak at men and women's prisons or just men's prisons?
Both.
What are some of the consistent things that you're finding with these prisoners in terms of where they came from, how they ended up there, and what they're looking for today?
Well, I mean, I believe that most – let me say this, Steve. I do what they call a father's blessing in the prisons. I've been calling it for 25, 26 years now. I've been doing it. And I don't believe we have a crime problem. I don't believe we have a drug problem. I don't believe we have an overcrowding problem. I believe we have a father problem. And so I do a father's blessing sometimes in the prisons and talk about fathers and how we have fathers weren't there for them. And even if they were there, they weren't there. You know, you watch a football game on Sunday and you watch the guy run in the end zone and do his little dance. And then he runs to the sideline and takes his helmet off and looks at the camera and goes, "Hi, Mom."
Yeah.
It's always that same nauseating, "Hi, Mom."
Yeah, yeah.
How come they never go, "Hi, Dad"?
What a great point.
Because Dad was never there. Dad might have been there, and you come home and say, "Dad, I scored 3 touchdowns in the game tonight, high school." And Dad's like, "I saw you, son, but if you scored 4, it would have been a state record."
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
"Dad, I got all A's on my report card, but if you'd have got A pluses, you'd have been on the honor roll." He kept the blessing just out of reach.
Yeah.
When Pete Rose broke Ty Cobb's longstanding hit record, when he got to first base, the entire stadium stood to their feet and cheered because he had just broken Ty Cobb's longstanding hit record. After the game, a reporter stuck a microphone in Pete Rose's face and said, "What were you thinking when all them people cheered for you?" He said, "I wondered if my dad was looking down from heaven and if he approved of me."
Man.
Still wanted his father's approval.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, children across America, 42% of kids in America are growing out without a father in the home, 42%.
Right, right.
In the African American community, it's north of 80%. And in the prison systems, I think it's north of 90%.
Right. But even if the father was there.
Yeah, you can be home and be a provider and be a horrible father.
That's right. "Hey, Dad, can I talk to you a minute?" "Not right now. I'm watching the game."
Yeah.
Don't have time.
Or we're looking at our smartphone or whatever.
Yeah.
What's the biggest challenge for prisoners in the gospel? Go ahead, finish your thought.
Let me say that an old friend of mine has a saying, "When you are where you are, be there."
Yeah.
"When you're at where you're at, be there."
That's right.
And so he said sometimes he's riding down the road with his teenage granddaughters and his phone's ringing. "Hey, Grandpa, your phone's ringing." "I know it." "Aren't you going to answer it?" "Nope." "Why not?" "Because you're a whole lot more important to me than whoever's on that phone."
Amen. What a great message that sends.
When you're at where you're at, be there. When you are where you are, be there.
Yeah, be there, 100%. So what's the biggest challenge for prisoners, hardened prisoners or maybe first-time offenders, with the gospel? What's the biggest challenge for them?
Well, there really isn't any challenge if they do it right. I have inmates come up to me like, "I'll go into prison and I won't go back there for a year, 2 years, the same prison." And an inmate will run up and say, "Bill, I tried God and he didn't work." And I look him right in the face. I say, "He didn't work the way you tried him." If you try him his way, he'll work every time.
Wow.
If you try him your way, he'll never work.
Yeah.
So if they really go all in for God, there really isn't no challenge. I've got a friend that did 20 years in prison. He never had one disciplinary report in 20 years because he was walking with God and he was a real Christian. I tell inmates this when they're in the county jail getting ready to go to prison. How many of you going to prison? You know, a few hands go up. I said, "Let me tell you something. There's only one way to make it in there. You either got to be real tough or real smart or a real Christian."
Mm. Yeah.
And do inmates have a hard time believing that they can be forgiven completely, forever, washed clean, forgiven for the things that they have done?
Well, it has to be, you know, Jesus said, "No man comes to me except the Spirit of my Father draws him." And if God's Spirit's drawing them and they're really taught right and they have the right teaching, then they can accept that they can be forgiven. I believe this. I believe you'll only forgive others as much as you feel forgiven.
Yeah.
And you will only love others as much as you feel loved. Yeah. If you don't feel 100% forgiven by God, you may not forgive everybody.
That's right.
And if you don't feel 100% loved by God, you may not love everybody. And so that's something that has to be taught, and it has to come. I mean, Jesus talked about in Luke, it said, he was talking to his disciples, and it said, then he opened their minds that they might understand the Scriptures.
Spiritual truths are spiritually discerned.
So God has to open our minds, and so I pray for guys all the time that God would open their minds to understand. Last night I spoke in a place here in wherever we're at, North Carolina. I don't even know where we are. And literally, it was the first prison that CLI had ever put a book in.
Wow.
15 years ago.
Wow.
It was the very first prison they put a book in. And I'm speaking to young men 19 to 22 years old out there. There was about 100, I think they said there was 85 in the group when I spoke last night. And I told those young men, I said, I want to pray a prayer over you guys. And I prayed over them that God would give them a revelation of how short their time on the earth is, so that they begin to realize that this thing is not going to last forever.
Yeah.
Every heart has an expiration.
Yeah, that's right.
Every heart has an expiration date, Steve. You know, the next beat our heart takes, it has to get permission from God
that's
to take.
Right. That's right.
And so once we get a revelation that James had it, James said our life is but a vapor.
Yeah, here one day and gone the next.
King David said our life is a breath.
Yeah.
So if you're 40, you got a half a breath left.
Yeah. How about that? That's an eye opener, isn't it? Well, I was watching. You mentioned earlier Greg Laurie and the Harvest Crusade guys, and I've been working with Greg and those guys for a while. Last week they released the documentary about Steve McQueen. So Steve McQueen, who was the biggest movie star at the time, a lot of people know that he died very young, 50, mesothelioma, lung cancer, basically. But he became a born-again Christian before he got sick. And one of the guys that spoke into his life was a really well-known stuntman and pilot and everybody named Stan Barrett. And Stan Barrett told him, hey, Steve, just remember, nobody gets out of here alive. Nobody's going to get out of here alive.
Wow.
Everybody's going to die.
That's great.
And so are you ready for when that day comes? Because I don't care whether you're the number one box office guy on the earth, whether you're the biggest paid movie star on the planet, you got the baby blue eyes and all the girls and the cars and all the other stuff, you will die. And are you ready when that day comes? Because you can't avoid it. And when you talk to young guys like that, is it really different, Bill, talking to young guys in prison, 18, 19, 20, 21, versus guys that have been in there or more hardened criminals in their 50s or whatever?
It is harder, Steve. I mean, young guys are harder to talk to. I think it's like I told them last night. I said, this is something I said, guys, let me ask you something. When you're a kid growing up, you had a dream. I mean, you could sit here and look at me and look tough and say you didn't have no dreams, but I know every one of you did.
Yeah.
Some of you want to be a fireman, or you want to be – some of you might have even wanted to be a policeman. But every football player, basketball, all of you had a dream. I said, how many of you had a dream of growing up to be an inmate?
Wow.
How many of you said, man, when I grow up, I want to be a meth dealer? I want to overdose on drugs when I grow up.
Yeah.
None of you wanted that, but you got in a wreck along the way. You're going down the road and you got in a wreck. Some of you got in a train wreck, not just a car wreck.
Yeah.
And so just to try to get their attention a little bit and get them to listen. But you know, it's kind of like nobody thinks it's going to happen to them.
That's
and these
right.
young guys, another thing I said over to them last night, I said, I also pray that God will give you a revelation that I haven't always been this old. Because when you look at me, you think I've always been this old.
Yeah, right.
You don't think I was ever your age.
Yeah, that's fine.
You don't realize that everything you've ever done, I've done it probably more than once.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There's nothing you've done that I haven't done.
Yeah.
The Bible says nothing new under the sun.
That's right.
But when we look at, I remember being that age. I remember being 35 and looking at a 75-year-old going, look at that old man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll never be that old.
Here you are.
We don't think it'll happen to us.
That's right. We've got about a minute left, Bill. So I just want to make sure we take this opportunity with about a minute left in the show. Speak directly to the people out there, like some folks maybe in prison that are like, I've done too much. There's no way God can love me, and there's no way he can forgive me for what I've done. Speak directly to them. We've got less than a minute.
Man, Steve, I tell you, if we think that there's nothing that God can, we've done something God can't forgive us, then that means that when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't quite enough. There's nothing. There's nothing. I've done everything. I can't talk about some of the things I've done.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've done everything there is to do wrong. And God forgave me. And if he'll forgive Bill Corum, there's no one he won't forgive.
That's right.
And I just tell you, if you've never had peace in your life, I never had peace. I was 40 and didn't know what peace was. I'd look for it through everything there was and couldn't find peace. New cars, gold, money, girls. And the only peace you'll ever find
is
a relationship with God through his son, Jesus.
Jesus Christ. That's right. Bill Corum, the ultimate pardon. God bless you, brother. Thanks for being here today.
Bless you.
Okay, friends, God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.